On my way to New Hampshire in the spring of 1845, I was directed to Paris, Maine, to combat fanaticism there. Louisa Foss, James White, and others were with me. Among the fanatics was Joseph Turner, a spiritualizer, and one day he appeared at the door.
Sister Ellen, will you come outside for a moment? I want to show you something.
Why, certainly, Brother Turner.
Well, what do you think of it?
My, what a beautiful carriage.
It's a brand new buckboard surrey built by James Brewster of New York City. It has solid oak sides and coil springs instead of band iron for a more comfortable ride.
It certainly is a lovely vehicle, but why are you showing it to me?
Because I want to take you to New Hampshire. Why, in a beautiful strong surrey like this, you and I can travel to Vermont. Or Massachusetts, or anywhere you want to go.
No, sir, you can't do that.
But, Ellen, the Lord told me I must do this.
No, he has not. I have specific orders as to whom I may trust, and that is only James White. Good day, sir.
What's the matter, Ellen? You look very upset with Brother Turner. You didn't even invite him in.
He's become a spiritualizer, Louisa. He wanted to get some power over me, but he didn't, and he won't, because I won't ride one foot with that man. Oh, I love the White Mountains, Louisa. They're so cool and beautiful.
Yes, the trip has been very pleasant, Ellen. We've been fortunate to find friends along the way to spend the nights with.
That's been especially good for Elder and Sister Files. At their age, a comfortable night's sleep's very important.
Right now, they look pretty comfortable in that carriage behind us, and so does Brother Haskins.
It'll be good, though, to stop for the night.
We'll stop with Elder Washington Morris. Just a few miles to go. Sister Ellen, are you all right?
I'm becoming very tired and dizzy.
We better get to Elder Morris's home as quickly as possible.
Yes. Elder Files, Sister Ellen's ill. We're going to hurry to Elder Morris's house.
We're right behind you, Sam.
Here!
While prayer was offered for me at Elder Morse's home, I was taken off in vision. Some things were shown me concerning Elder Morse and the disappointment of 1844.
She seems to be coming around, Brother White.
Sister Ellen, can you hear me?
Yes, yes. Brother James, I hear you. I'll be all right now. Please, let me sit up.
We prayed for you, Sister Harmon, and the Lord has brought you back to us.
And the Lord will bring you back, Elder Morse, if only you'll lay aside your depression. Lately, you've not been doing the Lord's work.
Well, the Lord revealed that to you?
Yes, he did, brother.
Before the disappointment, I was a leader in this area, spreading the word of his coming. But now, I'm just a big joke. Even children in the streets jeer at me.
You feel sorry for yourself.
Yes, I guess I do. But I have reason to.
What about the other believers around here? Without your leadership, they're like sheep without a shepherd, left to be devoured by wolves. Don't you feel sorry for them?
But what can I say to them? The Lord did not come.
Tell them the Lord has granted them and the world a longer time to prepare for his coming, so that the warning of his judgment might be heard more widely.
But who'll believe me now? The Lord didn't come when we thought he would. Sometimes I wonder, will he come at all?
You remind me of Jonah. He sulked and was filled with self-pity when God decided to spare Nineveh. God hasn't deserted us, Elder Morse. He will come. In time, he will come.
Oh, sister, it's so difficult. So very difficult. But I want to do the Lord's work.
Then cast off your selfishness and self-pity and trust in his wisdom. Be always ready to aid in carrying God's word and work forward.
Yes, yes, you make my duty plain. Oh, thank you, Sister Harmon. Thank you with all my heart.
As we continued traveling through New Hampshire, we found very little spirituality. In Claremont, we were told of two parties of Adventists, one holding to the faith and the other denying it. We were directed to Elder Bennett, who supposedly held views similar to our own.
The Bennett House? Well, it's right down the street there, big gray one. But why you want to call on that good-for-nothing Earl Bennett is more than I can understand.
Good-for-nothing? Do you dislike him because he's an Adventist?
I don't care how a man worships God, young fella, as long as he's a decent person. But this Bennett and his pal Levi Bellings aren't worth it. Well, you'll see for yourself soon enough.
Many were prejudiced against Adventists, so we suppose these men were persecuted for righteousness' sake. We soon changed our minds once inside the Bennett house.
Well, as I was saying, Elder Belling here and myself, we're completely sanctified.
I beg your pardon, Elder Bennett?
Simple. See, since October 22nd of last year, Bellings and I are in perfect accord with Jesus. We can do no wrong.
We're above the possibility of sin, my brothers and sisters, as you can be if you'll but follow us.
Yes, it's our destiny to keep our minds above earthly thoughts. Have some more roast, Brother Bellings.
Thank you, brother.
We're above earthly cares like work. Jenny! Fetch more gravy for Elder Belling, and hurry up!
And what of your wife, Elder Bennett? I see that you and Elder Bellings are all dressed up and your table is well set, but what about her? Doesn't she deserve to be nicely dressed also?
Oh, well, we're sanctified, don't you see? We deserve the best clothes and food.
Yeah, Jenny Bennett ain't sanctified. Mm. She takes care of the house and kid like she's supposed to.
Papa, can I have my dinner now?
Quiet, boy! Can't you see I'm talking about the Lord with these brothers and sisters? Get out of here!
But, Papa, I'm really hungry.
I said get! You can eat later! Jenny, get this brat out of here!
Mother! Mother!
I suppose your son isn't sanctified either. Is that why he's dressed in rags?
That's right, Sister Harmon. Now, if you'll just...
Come on, sisters. I think we've heard enough from these perfectly sanctified men. Let's get out of here before we get sick.
A short time later, a vision was given me in the night hours, showing the fanaticism that was now rampant in Portland. I returned home to oppose the spiritualizers there.
The Lord calls us, brothers and sisters. He calls us to faithful service in his name. He calls us.
Glory. Glory. Glory.
Praise the Lord. Sister Harmon is going into vision.
What, vision? She's just overexcited.
It's spiritual magnetism.
Someone is mesmerizing her. I could do it myself.
How can you say that, Brother Turner? She's had visions when she was all alone. No one could have mesmerized her then.
It's well known, brother, that those who live nearest to God are the most likely to be deceived by Satan.
Mother, Some try to tell me there's no Holy Spirit.
How do they explain the experiences of holy men of God related in the Bible?
Oh, they claim those were only mesmerism or the deception of Satan. And many I used to trust now condemn me.
That's terrible. How could they?
Those who hold extreme views say I've conformed to the world. And nominal Adventists call me a fanatic. It hurts me so.
I just don't understand how your friends can turn on you and treat you so badly.
And Joseph Turner is the worst of them all.
These trials sometimes tempted me to doubt my own experience. One morning, at family prayers, the power of God began to rest upon me. The thought rushed into my mind that it was mesmerism, and I resisted that power. I was immediately struck dumb for 24 hours.
Mother. Mother! My tongue is loosened. I can talk.
How wonderful, Ellen. What happened?
The Lord gave me a vision, and he told me I must write it out.
But you haven't been able to hold a pen for years. Why, your hand is trembling right now. It's impossible.
That's what I said, but I was told nothing is impossible with God. I must obey. I don't want to be struck dumb again. Please, hand me a pen and paper.
You're writing? Oh, if I hadn't seen it with my own eyes, I wouldn't have believed it.
From that day to this, God has given me the ability to write. My hand never wearies. It never trembles.